Hey, Mac, when does deer season start?
Well, if you want the best deer herd possible, Lanny, you need to start right now.
Right now.
That's why we're starting our promotion. I mean, we've got a Deer Season Starts Now promotion on plantbiologic.com where you can pick up our Game Changer soybeans, our forage soybeans, and our spring protein peas. While you're there, you might as well go ahead and pick up some brassicas like our final forage and winter bowls.
Yeah, stock up for the cool season planting right now. Listeners to the GK Podcast, if you use coupon code GKPOD, you can save an additional 10% off our entire selection of warm season, cool season, and clover food plot seed. Get started today and visit plantbiologic.com for an unforgettable fall.
I am Jeff Foxworthy, and welcome to Gamekeeper Podcast. If you want to learn more about farming for wildlife and habitat management, then buddy, you are in the right place. Join the Gamekeeper crew direct from Mossy Oak Land Enhancement Studio as they discuss the latest wildlife and habitat management practices, news, and of course, hunting. There's no telling what you'll learn, but I'm going to tell you, I bet it's interesting. Enjoy.
We're live in 3, 2, 1.
Lanny.
Here we are.
Once again.
Masterclass.
But this one, it kind of bubbled up kind of awkwardly. Because you think about a push button call, and you kind of think, well, can you be a master at a push button call?
I'm going to tell you, I have seen, I've push buttoned a lot, a little bit, but never to the level that the man to the left of me has.
Yeah. So we have sitting at the end of the table, Mr. Bill Sugg,
our one and only,
who is legendary for his performance with
first employee
calls.
Yeah.
Okay. Well we're just concentrating on turkey calls.
Okay, my bad.
He has been around here a long time.
Yeah, his resume.
That's for sure. Long in the tooth, as they say. And looking over on the couch, if we can shine the spotlight over here, we've got Ronnie Cuss Strickland sitting on
the
couch.
The tube master.
Cuss, is that a spit cup over there next to you?
No, that's for my Diet Mountain Dew. I didn't want to advertise freely.
Yeah. I'm in front of the cup.
By the way, we are accepting advertisers.
Yes, sir.
I've been working on them in Whataburger for decades, and it ain't happening. So.
I don't never say never.
I think the Whataburger is going to come around for you.
They should.
They should. I believe so, too.
They absolutely should.
Sooner or later. Maybe even Waffle House.
Yeah.
Ooh. Mm.
So today we're going to talk about the tube call, which – Cuz is a master of the tube call.
No doubt.
I doubt there's anybody listening that hadn't heard Cuz blow a tube call. People on properties next door have
I should just say, they've heard it in person. Yeah. They just didn't know it. Right. I was a county over and everywhere.
Yeah.
You could turn the mics off and they could hear it Alabama. Yeah.
So what I thought would be interesting is if we got y'all to switch calls. And let Mr. Bill use the tube, and that would make it interesting. Mac, don't you? What would you think to that?
I don't know. I think it's a master class. Let's let them go with what they're good at.
That's right.
Thank you, Mac. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I want to clarify one thing right off the bat.
Okay.
Probably 30 some odd years ago, walked in at NWTF. I think it was their 14th annual convention. They just had their 50th, last year?
Oh, yeah.
The year before.
Yeah.
So 36 years ago, pretty sure it was in Charleston, South Carolina. I meant to bring it. I actually have the Chatterbox call that has a engraving on it that says 14th Annual NWTF. That's the first time I ever saw one that actually made a really turkey sound.
Yeah.
I mean, many of us have seen the push buttons, and you mentioned in your write-up, Bobby, that they're for beginners, but when you know how to use them and are shown how to use them, they make a tremendous quiet turkey yelp.
They sound like
cluck and purr.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's a misunderstood call.
Oh, no doubt about it.
But certainly don't consider myself a master, but I do consider our guest today, Mr. David Loftus, who's the original maker of Loftus calls, but of the Chatterbox. And all kind of woods, all kind of varieties over the years. I've sort of become addicted to them, just finding one, and it's been fun to watch other people learn and get David's call and give them. But he can tell us why he got started in it, and he has a unique story about, I think it was, David, it was either at that NWTF show or it was one in New Orleans where you first met Toxie. And I want, Bobby, I'm superseding you a little bit, but I want to welcome David to the show, and I appreciate you being with us this morning.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Mr. Bell. Yeah, we'd be able to host this thing.
Yeah, come on down here every week.
Back through the years, when I first started turkey hunting, I used to call with a little piece of slate, and which required two hands, you know. And I don't know how many times I called a turkey up, and there I was, my gun laying crossways across my lap, and I had the striker in one hand and the slate in the other. And it's hard to outdraw a turkey. So a friend of mine named Gary Bell, he was showing me his antique turkey call collection a while back, and he had one in there that was similar to the chatterbox that I have now, but it was rudimentary. It would only cluck. It just had a short stem on it, and it was made by a guy named Claude Leonard from Oak Hill, Alabama. And I said, man, that's exactly what I need, you know, something to finish the turkey off where I can just lay it down, already have a hand on the shotgun, you know. And so I made me one. Well, everybody I knew wanted one like I had. And I ended up making a few and selling them. And then I expanded on them. And now I got them where they'll do about anything. They won't gobble. But it's come a long ways. And I at one time, I was selling through distributors. And I was making calls for Vic Kirby, Perfection, Paul Butsky, and Ray I, to name a few. And they kept me pretty busy. But over the years, I got away from that. And I just fixed me a website. Actually, my grandson fixed it for me. He's a fireman, but he's savvy on this computer stuff. And he made me a website, and it just took off. And now we make the chatterbox, and we make a call called the Crystal Screamer. It's a hot call with a glass surface. It's made out of corian. The chatterbox, you can do about anything you want to with it except gobble on it. I got one in my hand right here, right now.
All right.
I'm going to do a little soft calling with it, okay? I don't know. Can you hear that?
Yes, sir.
Now, that's soft calling. And you can get down on it. You can... And you do that with one finger. And the first time I ever met Toxic was in New Orleans. And I think was there with the Wild Turkey Federation, their convention. And I don't know, maybe Bill was there with him. I don't know. But he come over to our booth. We were setting it up. A friend of mine named Ron Simpson, he would go with me and help me, you know, call, sell the calls and all. And he wanted to know what size shirts we wore. And we told him, and he brought two over there, and he said, I'm going to give you these shirts if you'll wear them during the show. And we agreed, and we really, really did like the camouflage, because all we was used to was the Army issue stuff, you know. And we was really pleased with him doing that for us and all. But you can take two of them. Now, Toxic. Is that an echo?
Okay. No, that's look, Bill, let's just hang on with Bill. You'll have your time, okay? Please. It's like, I feel like, man.
If two's like good, wrong. Four's better, right?
That's right.
So, like, girlfriend?
I don't know if I'd have said that.
No, if I'd have said that, Brother Lee.
So, well, Mr. Loffers, let me ask you this. So, are you like holding one in your hand and so you can hold your gun up at the same time? Do you do that, or do you run two calls and then lay them down and pick up your gun? Or is there any particular strategy or style to what you're doing?
Yeah, I've got one in each hand when I'm doing that. I guess if you was really handy, you could put two in one hand, but I can't do it. I know those people have made calls. They call the dueling gobblers or something like that, and they would put two pegs in one call, and they really didn't sound that good though. But I remember Toxic told me and Ron that him and his daddy, when they would have a turkey that was really stubborn, or they had a lot of turkeys and they just couldn't get them to come in, that Mr. Fox would pull two of them out and they would do that, and he called it the Jubilee. And it was very effective.
See these people? When the clock strikes five, it's not the end. It's just the beginning. They have to do these things. They have to do those things. Enter the all-new LS Tractor MT2 and MT2E, a relentless force of innovation. Redesigned with a new hood and cab built for comfort and visibility, with enhanced lifting capacity to get the job done. Making these people the ones everyone else calls those people. Visit your local LS Tractor dealer today.
Moultrie has pioneered the game management category. Today, Moultrie is one of the best-selling brands of feeders and seeders in the world, and they continue to innovate with new technology that gamekeepers will rely on. Moultrie products are always field-tested and designed for hunters by hunters, combining forward-thinking innovation with time-tested practicality. Moultrie, first in feeders since 1979. All right, so guys, Moultrie is offering our listeners a 15% site-wide discount at MoultrieFeeders.com. Use code MossyOak with a capital M, MossyOak, at MoultrieFeeders.com and get that 15% discount.
I remember Toxie maybe calling in one or two local calling contests. He may have won both of them, but I know he won one of them. And one way he won it was your favorite call, and he did the Jubilee, and people had never heard that before. And he won that contest hands down using two push buttons.
How about that?
That's an interesting word, Jubilee. It comes from the coast down around Mobile where Mr. Fox grew up. A Jubilee is when all of a sudden a bunch of fish come up to the surface, and crabs and things like that, and everybody gets on the phone and says it's a Jubilee. And so that makes a lot of sense to – refer to that noise you're making as a Jubilee.
I've read about that, that happens every once in a while. And you just go scoop them up.
That's right.
And everything.
That's right.
Yeah. Mr. Loftus, it's interesting to hear you talk about how long you've been doing this. And you know, like I think I said at the beginning, a lot of times people think about that push button as a entry level call. And but it's actually there's a lot of strategy to it, and a reason for a guy to have one in his vest, because it certainly sounds very henny. Lanny, I think you need one.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna say, I'm just gonna go ahead
and
say
the only one that needs one more than me is you.
I might need two of them. Is what I need, Mr. Loftus. So guys can go to LoftusCustomTurkeyCalls.com.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. So, guys, I would highly encourage you to go check them out. Mr. Bill just sings the praises of these calls. He loves them.
He's got a couple of them sitting in front of him.
He does, and we're going to get him to run them. So, Mr. Loft, thank you for joining us, and we appreciate you taking time to be with us today.
I like all you guys. I think a lot of you. I think all of you's got Christian blood. So,
well, thank you, sir.
Most of us do. There's a few of them I'm worried about from time to time, to be honest with you.
Well, they'll come around, hopefully.
Yeah. We're working on them, that's for sure. Right. All right. Well, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Mr. Loftus.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Thank you, David. Really good to visit with you again.
So while we're still on the push buttons, Mr. Bill got all excited there a second ago, picked his up. What, Mr. Bill, let's hear you run your – what a typical scenario when you sit down, what you're thinking and what you're doing.
Well, so like David said, and again, to me, he is the master, but they can go from soft to loud. But most of the time, I just cluck and then soft. That's a clear yep. And then you can get them to roll over. And I run mine a little bit differently than he does. I don't have the advantage of just doing it with one hand because to me, you can't get as much, at least I can't, out of the call with just one hand. So you can get them to make it turn over on the back end. And then if you want to add a little excitement with it, you can just yep a little bit and
cluck on it is just
right. That's the real deal right there.
That's right. And he's holding, like, he's got one of his hands inside the call. Are you holding pressure on the plate a little bit?
A little bit. Sometimes, depending on the tension of the bar that holds it, the piece of wire that holds it, it'll pop up. Mm-hmm. So that's to keep it from missing a beat. But I also got using them because I couldn't pour on a mouth call. And for the record, I still can't. I try every year, and I'm working
hard. You still running that true double?
I had Preston tell me, you've got to learn to gargle with your uvula. Well,
what's a uvula?
What's a uvula? Anyway, it's hard for me to do, but I do cluck and purr with them a lot.
So tell me how you maintain that thing. Do you have to sand it, chalk it? What are you doing?
It takes frequent chalking. It has the striking post. Once you get it in the right position, you can – play with it. On the back, it's got a little screw. It'll tighten it. But I always mark it so I can come back, because if you don't hold it tight, it'll migrate, vibrate, mm-hmm. and it'll migrate a little bit and move. So I mark the outline so I can always go back to what I liked when I set it. Some cluck better than others. Some purr better than others. Some yelp better than others. I probably have bought, I'm not going to say, somebody might be listening.
But Shirley might be listening.
Yeah. I love giving them away. But the person that he talked about how he runs his, y'all remember Cecil Carter?
Yes, sir.
Hunted with Cecil one time. He was here. Cecil used to work with us. Great guy. We were hunting down in Tibby Bottom. He pulled out one of Night and Hell's calls. And it was how long ago it was. It was probably about a 6-inch box. It was and painted World War II camo. And he started running it just like I was running Mika. With two hands, and I had never heard that sound come out of this. And I would look at chatterboxes. I would look at box push buttons, and I never could find one that sounded like that one sounded. But he showed me how to run it, and that's what I've always tried to emulate. And there's been several good ones out there. Of course, David and Harold had some of the early ones. They made one that had two already joined together. Mm-hmm. And then Primos had some. Primos did a plastic one with a glass plate on it. So it was almost like a push button glass pot call, but it was a push button, and it sounded pretty good. Quaker Boy made one, still make a good one. Yeah. Been several others. There's a guy named Mike Lapp that wins competition in WTF every year. He's got some decorative calls. A lot of people have perfected that sound. But to me, Mr. Loftus, since I started with chatterboxes, he is the master to me in this discipline. But it's sort of the opposite of where we're now fixing the head. This is soft and sweet.
Yeah, then
we go to Cuz.
Yeah, I'm more of a scorched earth kind of guy. I felt an ambush coming on, but I'm ready for it.
Well, I want to go ahead and say this because I'm going to surprise you, because I've heard people make light of it and try to have their day.
Yeah.
With the tube call.
It's pretty common.
But I never heard them complain when a turkey gobbles. Mm-hmm. And it happens early and often. It's one of the most, if not the most effective locating calls I've ever seen. And I'll go on record saying that. But it is really effective, and nobody's perfected it like he has.
How did you get started with a tube call, cuz?
You know, the first one I ever saw was a Morgan call, Alan Morgan. Dudley's shaking his head because he's not old as me, but he probably remembers.
I used Alan to own Morgan. One. It was my dad's. I think it was like 1972-ish maybe. But, of course, I left it sitting on a log in the middle of the woods and hadn't seen it since. But.
Yeah, but that was the That was the first one I ever saw, and I didn't think much of it. I just, another device I couldn't use and forgot about it. And the first one I really saw was hanging around Will Primos's neck. It was the early version of what they sell now. And it had latex or whatever over it. And he actually had masking tape around his, because when you get it to that certain spot, you don't want it to slip. And I just looked at it, and he'll tell you himself he wasn't that good on it, but I said, that thing right there looks cool. And that's why I wanted one. I said, it looks cool, you know. And so I got one. And all of a sudden, I'm working for him. This is way back. And I'm working for him filming turkeys. And, you know, The Original Truth, which was ended up being a cult movie. We did that in Mississippi. It ain't like we went to Texas where it's easier, you know.
Yeah, Mac.
So I was getting paid for turkey encounters. And I learned pretty quick once I saw a hen with my own eyes, cut real loud and a turkey gobble. I just kept doing it until I figured out how I could make a turkey gobble, which is 99.9% the only reason I carry one. I like to have encounters, and I'm no good at sitting in a clover field yelping at the woods if I know he's not there. I ain't doing it. I just cannot do it. But if I can hear one, even if he's 300 or 400 yards, I can ease it. I was like, he can hear me from here. I can get my mind right. But, I catch a lot of grief about it, and that's okay. I've had people say, now you leave that thing in the truck. I'm like, okay, buddy. It's your hunt. Let's go. Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah.
Didn't hear nothing. So, anyway, it's just, you know, it's
do you think it, like, shocks them so much?
Sure it does.
Are they, like, falling in love with
it? No, it's a shock gobble. Here's the... This is my thoughts, and people will shake their head. You may lose listeners. Anyway, here's my thoughts on locating. I've been with everybody. I've been with Bill Toxie, Will Primos, Dick Kerr. I've been with everybody, and they're all good, and what they do works. But here's how people locate. They, you know, you got whatever in the morning. You got whipped. You didn't see nothing. I kind of like to sit out a little bit during the lull, but about 9 or whenever you're moving and you're prospecting or contact hunting, as Preston Pittman said, and they'll ease up there and they'll bull crow call or they'll owl hoot first, and then they'll do this. And then, but at some point, they go in with the loudest thing they got.
That's right.
Bill Suggs is a paddle bob, whatever. And to me, I always figured that if he's out there, he's with him. He's heard that stuff all day, and his rubber band's sitting there getting tighter. And if you, to me, you're kind of unloading him if you do all that first. That's just my thoughts. I'm no biologist, so I hit him hard, quick. But I don't just run through the woods cutting on a tube call. He's up there and say, "Okay, this is a good place. If I hear one, I can sit right there, or I could move up to that." And it's just worked really good for me.
Do you start loud or do you start?
No, I give it everything I got.
Right there from the get.
It's a shot gobble.
Yeah.
And if I want to go soft, I can do it with a mouth call. Yeah.
Now, it makes sense what you're saying, like, about the loading up. I mean, for sure.
That's just a personal.
Nah, it makes sense.
And a lot of people like, well, don't come through here on that thing. And it's just a turkey sound. And it sounds bad up close. Hey, I get it. That's fine. But I've heard it. When we were videoing one time, Troy Ruiz was 500 yards from me. He was with a rider, and I was with another rider. And I was over there popping that thing, and he played the footage back that night. And I was like, man, y'all had one cutting right up there. He said, cuz, that's you. I went, really? It don't sound like that to me. It's kind of deafening when you're up close. Mm-hmm. But it's a big advantage to me being able to hear one at 400 yards. Then, you know, just all of a sudden, because I was always videoing, still do. Mm-hmm. And if one just kind of appears while you're sitting there, the chances you getting any kind of good footage are almost zero. So I like to, you know, gobble back at me and then I can get the camera pointed, doing whatever. But again, it's just what works for me.
Well, teach us how to run one. What do you? What do we got to start?
I have tried to do this. For some reason, this is the most difficult call for everybody in the world. And I don't know.
Harder than a trumpet? There's nothing harder than a trumpet.
It is harder than a trumpet.
I would say it's similar.
I'd say it's harder than a trumpet.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Well, it's different.
Yeah.
I love the way those trumpet wing bones look. I don't personally carry one. I don't get it. It takes so much wind. I'll get lightheaded trying to do that and almost faint. And I was like, I don't get that. Like this, again, this is the more of a scorched earth approach. It's really offensive to especially old school turkey hunters.
So walk me through. Where are you putting your lips?
All right, there's 50 different kinds of these. This one, the reason I always like the Primos is because it's got a snap-on reed. Mm-hmm. The original ones were way different from this. They were made out of silicone. They were actually an elk call. And when I got to doing it so much and selling some, they made them, and then the popularity went away, and they quit. They didn't make these forever. Now they still have – the reason the snap-on reed works good is because it doesn't stretch. It's always the same. Now, they will eventually break. And back when they did silicone reeds, I got every one they had when they quit making them and had them in a plastic bag. And I can remember – and they would bust. I'll bust one of these a week easily because they're pretty thin. And I can remember – how much I hoarded those things, and I had them in a pill bottle. And I remember where I was standing when I busted the last one. I said, well, my turkey hunting career is over, but they finally brought it back. But it's basically a cylinder with a, it's part of the back end of it's solid. And then the reed fits over the top. So there's a tiny little slit in there right there. And I put my top lip over the completely top of that thing and put my bottom lip right under it. It's basically like you got a mouth call and you turned it upside down. That's what I tell people all the time. It's the same press.
Facing down
like that. And I, instead of using your tongue to apply pressure, I use my lip. That bottom lip makes it tight and loose and tight and loose. But it takes a lot of practice. And you, when Will Primos teaches somebody how to use a mouth call, he'll have him pressing that tongue up going, hee, and then let it off, you know. And all you got to do then is figure out how to make both of those notes mm-hmm. go fast. Same way with this thing. I very seldom use it to yelp. I don't know that I've ever yelped up a turkey with this.
Just straight cutting.
Straight cutting. With, and I can yelp on it. I can do anything on it. I can do
yeah, you
goose.
Can gobble on it.
Gobble sounds good on it.
Goose, coyote.
Yeah.
But – here's what yelp. I'm gonna turn away from the microphone. You may want to take your heads off, and I'm gonna show you what I do.
Yeah. Locate. Turn them down, Rich.
Take your headphones off. This if I walked up to a spot, and I'm like, and I'm gonna see if I can make one gobble. This is what I'm gonna do. And I'm telling
just
you,
just a short and sweet.
That's it.
Loud, hard cut.
And if he don't gobble at it immediately, he ain't gonna. I'm telling you, I've done it for however many years,
pit,
40
pit,
years.
Pit.
If he's going to gobble, it's going to be a shot gobble, and it's usually inside that sound. That's why I love having somebody stand 10 feet away. A lot of times it's hard for me to hear it, but it's 1,000% a shock. Now, you make it do the same thing with an air horn or a gun or whatever it is, but to me it's...
You ever do it before daylight?
No.
So after you blow, if after you do that and nothing gobbles, you just turn around to whoever you're with and say, let's go.
Yeah,
we need to go somewhere
going
else.
It'll
cover a lot of ground. On the right day with the humidity right, I don't know how far you can hear it, but it's a long way. Mm-hmm. And if they don't gobble at it the first time, but, you know, I hear people all the time say, hit it again. Okay, you want to hear it? But he ain't going to gobble. If he's going to gobble...
It's
on that first note. Soon, I don't know if it's the pitch or the frequency or just the volume or whatever it is. And that's all I use it for.
I have heard you cut on it really well and heard them gobble at that. Cut on it one time. It's all a longer cut.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that work.
Yeah, I've heard it. I mean, you can yelp.
Pretty dadgum good.
Yeah, that's strong.
Yeah, you can yelp on it. You can cut on it. I take it to Texas to coyote howl. Mm-hmm. They don't have barred owls out mm-hmm. there. Around here, I don't coyote yet, but you can do.
Wow.
Goose. Versatile kind of. You can do anything on it. It's just practice. But I'm telling you, it stays in my goal when I go every day, if I go every day, is to never reach for it because that means I'm having a good morning.
Ah.
Lenny, I had to tell you, hunting with you, you've got your phone in your pocket. You're constantly checking on X.
Yep. Very valuable key features all in those things. It really is. From the compass mode to recent imagery, it really helps you understand where you are spatially, where you're headed, where a turkey is, where he was. It's a heck of a tool to use in the spring woods.
I didn't realize that they're updating these maps every couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'd have never known about that clear cut that you were hunting if I didn't have that recent imagery.
Well, and you could share some waypoints with me.
I could share some points with you. You're exactly right.
Yeah. I mean, it has that capability.
It does have that sharing capability, which is great. You're wanting to show me where your goblin turkeys are.
Oh, man. Onyx, it's a great app.
It's a great app.
So guys can go to onyxmaps.com/hunt and use code Mossy Oak to get 20% off.
There you go.
I'm a big fan of Onyx.
I am too. I was going to ask you, you cut hard, he gobbles. What's your next move? I know you said you sit down. Yeah. Are you going to a pot call? Are you going to a diaphragm?
Usually a mouth yipper. I don't carry much in my turkey vest. I don't carry a push button call. I don't carry a box call. I don't carry none of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's usually now. If I hear him, and I think he's within kind of earshot range, I got a few minutes to sit down. I'm going immediately to a mouth call. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that'll cost you. Everybody say, once you got him gobbling, don't change. Well, it's hard to get real soft on that. And so once I locate him, then it's kind of a roll of the dice if he'll answer. But
talk to him sweet. Cuz
has a reputation, obviously, for what we're talking about in that tube call, phenomenally. But once he puts it down, he's as good a yepper as I've ever heard in the woods.
Yeah. It's
got all the tools.
I love the mouth call because I wasn't very good on it. I was so bad, but I was so determined because my gag reflex wouldn't let me use one. I could put it in my mouth. I'm spitting it from here to Bobby Cole right there all the way. It was terrible. When I first got one and I cut a hole in the side and I tied about a 10-inch piece of dental floss to it because I was afraid I was going to choke or something. And I'd ride down the road with that dental floss hanging out of my mouth, and I'd pull it out. But I wanted to be hands-free.
Yes.
Because, running that back in the day, those cameras were gigantic, and it was all kinds of things you had to do, and you just really didn't have time, or unless you was an octopus, to do all that. So I usually immediately switch to a mouth call. And I have found, this is just me, If he hits you and his window's open, from that point on, you can call him up with a Coke bottle. Yeah. It ain't going to make that much difference what your yep sounds like it, to me.
I've heard people calling on some snuff cans, snuff cans.
Yeah, I got a dozen of them. People send them to me.
They're not much different than that.
They're very different.
Are they?
And I explain this to people. Harold Knight's got a great one right now. They make a tube call. It's littler than this, and it's just completely hollow. Imagine a 1-inch piece of PVC, and you cut 2 inches out of it. It's a hole on both ends. And they just stretch the – of course, it looks better. It's designed. And they just stretch the latex over half. And he can do it with, just like that. This one's got a hard piece of plastic.
Yeah, it's got a half moon of plastic.
It's got a half moon, and I need that. And theirs are for more, and they can cut on them, cheek, 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 all that. Like you'll see Dave Owens, he's using one now. His cut and the cut out of this thing, completely different stuff. And theirs may sound a little more henny. Up close, sounds a little more turkey, but this is like I say,
that's a specialized tool.
A specialized tool, good for one thing.
Yeah, the pill bottle ones, a lot of, and the wood cylinders and stuff like that, a lot of them use what's called dental dam, which is a square of latex or whatever.
Yep.
And then you put a O-ring or a rubber band or even tape around it.
Hard to be consistent with that, but and they can be great. And some people like to hang them around the neck because they're hard to use. Look at, you know, I can use a tube. I get that. That is not why I use this. Matter of fact, when I'm not using it, it's inside of my vest in a pocket for a couple of reasons. You get tired of explaining to people what it is. And number two, the reeds, I guess.
Very sensitive.
Yeah, they're very sensitive. Yeah. You don't want to get like mosquito spray on or a briar hits them like pop. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like Dudley said, is a tool used for kind of one thing. And, it's worked very. I got countless stories about how far. Man, back when my ears were good, I had all kind of stories. Now I got to have somebody with me,
right?
Because Mr. Kelly said you make turkeys gobble further than you want to go to, but you got to be able to hear them. I can hear better now with my Tetras, but I got stories back in the day. It's like it's crazy how far they can hear because it's just a turkey sound. Mm-hmm. It ain't a magic call. It's not a magic bullet. It's just got some sheer reach power.
Volume. Mm-hmm. So can you adjust that, the reed, to where you can call softly on it?
No. When I carry this, my vest is pretty specialized. Like I said, I ain't got much in it. And this front pocket up here, a lot of people carry, I got toilet paper in it. If I get caught in a bind, I can reach in there and I can stuff it full of toilet paper. And then I can yip on it.
Ah.
You got to apply the same amount of pressure to get the sound out, but it's very muffled in. And that's just like in emergencies, but I usually got a mouth call in. But no, this one has no adjustment.
So I've heard people with a metal snuff can, homemade one, that can call really, really soft on those things.
Yeah, or even a prescription bottle, the plastic
bottle.
Yeah, film canister.
I've played with a lot of them. I've used balloon material, and it sound, but it's all different. What he's using is made for cutting real loud and quick, and they're not that adjustable.
I've never practiced. I've got people send me tube calls. And I'm not a collector. I don't care that much about it. People send me tube calls all the time. I got ones made out of ivory.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy. And you can get down soft or not, but I've never practiced a lot of that, because to get down soft and do that, it's going to take at least one hand, sometimes muffling with two. And that's what I'm trying to get away from is movement. So once I get where I'm going, I switch to that mouth call.
It's amazing.
It's a good technique.
You've perfected it for sure. I think he certainly qualifies as a master with that tube call.
Yeah. No doubt.
The Furminator is the industry's most versatile piece of food plot equipment, allowing plotters to do every step of the process, working the soil, adding seed and soil supplements, and compacting. From start to finish, with a single implement, it's hassle-free by design. Set it for the seed size and simply drive the tractor, and the Furminator does the rest. Check it out at theferminator.com.
Hey guys, Dudley from Gamekeepers here. I want to tell you about the all-new Gunner Dog Bowl. It's designed for home and built for travel. It's customizable, leak-resistant, light on weight, solid on durability, and rust-proof. Like other Gunner products, they're made in Nashville and designed for everywhere.
Nosler's known for their bullets, and now they're making suppressors. Nosler suppressors are made for hunting. Adding a Nosler suppressor to your rifle will make you a quieter, more accurate, and more effective hunter. Protect your hearing and disturb less game with a Nosler suppressor. The time to hunt quiet is now. Learn more at Nosler.com.
What are we not asking, Lanny?
I was going to talk to you a little bit about your mouth calls. Mr. Bill, I don't know if you still do it, but you're one of the guys that blew a stacked call, a true double. Do you still yelp on true doubles?
I do. but I'm also really trying to get better at the V-cuts.
Gotcha.
For all the reason that Cuz mentioned. They're just so much more versatile.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really trying to change that, but I still – blow on double reeds, different type. Bill Ziering has one I've blown for years. And
it was a stacked reed, though. So
it was a stacked
two
reed.
Two frames stacked on each other.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I would use it in conjunction with that and cut on this and cut on that and so forth. Yeah.
And you're trying to run a or learn to blow a trumpet, am I understand?
I am.
How's that going?
I just like y'all have all.
It's just fun to experiment with all the different ways of doing it.
Y'all always kidded me over the years about having a sporting goods store in my turkey vest. Yeah. Well, I just like trying different calls and trying different ones. Now, I have not been brave enough to try what Cuz does yet. But
well, you do similar to what chances. He does with a paddle box. I mean,
I do.
Yeah.
But he makes a great point about all the stuff running up to it, and really all you're trying to do is
that makes complete sense to me.
Going to change my technique a little bit because you can cut on that paddle box right off the bat, and you've heard a lot really good mouth call, you know, Toxie obviously, and others they'll cut first, you know, they won't try to they'll just pop. And he's right. If you catch him in the right mood, you're going to shock him into gobbling with that. I use a crow call a lot to do that rather than that, and that's way more effective in a lot of cases.
I'll tell you this, and all I have is my personal record. But if this tube call cutting pow pow, if that's the only thing that he will gobble to, your odds of calling him in are 1 in 10.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you, that's the way it works, and it's always been like that, and that's the downside of shot gobbling. That doesn't mean he's coming in just because you heard him. Now that's not 100% true in the afternoon. But I'm talking about that, you know, I don't use it at daylight, but anytime before lunch while you're moving around, if that's the only thing he'll gobble at, he probably ain't coming. He's with hens and moving around. Then it comes to where you go sit down and all that. But I've just always been better if I know he's there.
You know? Oh, yeah. No,
that helps with the confidence. Confidence is a killer.
If you've sat there for an hour and, man, you know.
Can't do it.
The
older I get, the better I am at that for a couple of reasons. Number one is little turkey seats.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all ain't using one of them, you missing the boat. And I put a shotgun sling on mine, and it's just part of the gear now. I lighten everything else up. You can plop that thing down and sit anywhere. Oh, my word. It's awesome.
Which one are you using?
The one I got right now came from Walmart. It says gobbler something on it. Big gobbler something.
It's on Moss Elk.
It's phenomenal. And everybody looks at it. It's same way they used to look at a whisker biscuit on your bow. When they first come out, they go, that looks like something you'd have on a kiddie bow. And they look at this turkey chair and like, what is that? And I said, that's my turkey chair.
Is it got a back or is it?
It's like them little chairs you use on the beach. Mm-hmm. It's about 3 inches off the ground. And it pops out, and you sit in it, and you lean back, and I'm telling you.
You ever fall asleep?
Yeah.
Hadn't we all?
Here's what I have refused to film this. You know, I'm almost 70 years old. I still do pretty good for that age. If I've been sitting for an hour, getting out of it, somebody needs to film that because it looks it looks like you got to be a jujitsu expert to get out of it. But you will sit more still than you ever have. And I've sat up against a tree as much as anybody. And those things right there are a game changer.
Yeah. How about that? Dudley, you got a question?
Well, I was just going to make a comment that a lot of folks that use a tube call often use it more for male turkey sounds.
Yeah.
You know, like we were talking the other day about the, you know, you do the kyalk after a gobble.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I used to carry one around with. I wasn't great at yelping on it. I could actually make a decent gobble with it. But
would you loan him?
I mean, I hadn't done one in years. But
we got one right
here. It was pretty good at making Jake noise.
Richie has a
I hadn't
call.
Done that, and I don't even know.
Well, he said you were pretty good. So
I hadn't done one since
the
late 90s.
He moistened it up. That was good.
Yeah.
That was killer.
That's from Rob. That's
let's set the stage here, guys. He's licking the latex.
Yeah, I can't even get my finger
moist here.
No.
What?
You got to try.
No.
You got to give a little bit more effort for that.
No. I used a specific one, and the latex is weird on that, and the hole is too small. So I know you're trying to set me up for failure, Bob.
No, they wouldn't do that.
Lord have mercy.
You know, I don't gobble on mine. I do if like sometimes, depending on what you're hearing and seeing, I might do a fight and purr. Yeah. I've always found that to be a little more successful than a gobble. I'm pretty scared to gobble at them. Mm-hmm. It just seems like that's never worked for me. And I know somebody's going to, you know, chime in and say, I caught the biggest turkey ever gobbled.
Gobbled him up.
It ain't never worked for me. Mm-hmm. a fight and purr sometimes. He does that on those. Yeah. On his
the push buttons are push great button. For a fight and purr. Fight and purr.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'll do you a fight and purr. You want to hear that?
Yes, sir.
You got to have your hat. Somebody had your hat slapped your desk with you.
That's exactly.
That every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
If you're bored to death and he won't come in, I'll do that every once in a while. But I don't think I've ever had much luck.
I bet that wakes up Cranky when you do that, doesn't it?
If he's Cranky's used to it. Cranky is so good. Now, he's 12 now, but I've had him since with me. Yeah. See, fun. And when we stop, if he sees me reaching that pocket, he'll walk 20 or 30 feet up there and put his hands behind his ears. Mm-hmm. He knows to get away from me, put his back to me.
And be ready to hear it.
And he's listening because he's seen it work. You know, he gets it. Yeah. So
can you spend a couple minutes retelling the time you took Tom Kelly and surprised him by pulling out the tube call and he thought you were crazy?
Yeah. You know, you gotta think back now to this. Tom Kelly was 80. I don't know how old he was. He wasn't that well known. And that's why I wanted to film him, talk to Toxie. I wanted a record of Tom Kelly because I don't read stuff, nothing, menus. And I read the 10th Legion, and I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. And I met him at the NWTF and told him about what we, you know, and I said, I'd love to film you sometime, Mr. Kelly. And he was a little bit different back then. He's a little gruffer. He's a military guy. And so we set it up, and he was a member of a camp down there, Spanish Fort, Alabama, right there by Mobile. And I went down there to go with him, and he was like he didn't talk a whole lot. I said, now, Mr. Kelly, here's my plan. I'm going to just follow you. You do what you do. And I said, I won't spook him. I'm pretty good at this. I'll hide real good. Okay. He didn't talk a lot. He really didn't back then. He didn't know what all this was about. And so we went and, you know, we sat down and he did. This was way before turkey vests. There may have been one on the market back then. This was many, many years ago. And he did. He had something rolled up in his back pocket, and he sat down. And a couple of turkeys gobbled way out in the pines, and he just sat there and sat there and sat there. And I'm way back behind him, and I have pulled some stuff up around me. I am hidden. I ain't going to mess this up. And he yipped three or four times on a box, and turkeys flew down and went the other way. And kind of the hunt's over. We get up, and we're walking, and he had a crow call. Looked like a 410 hole that you could hear maybe 100 feet. And we did that kind of on the way back, and that was it. So I was going to go with him one more time. We went back to the same spot. So he put his little pad thing down. It wasn't a magazine or something. But anyway, he put it down in the same indention. And anyway, same thing. One turkey gobble, maybe two. Well, this time, and they left, we went the other way. And we got down to this 9:30, 10 o'clock, beautiful bottom. A lot of pine and stuff, but this was like a streamside management zone. Okay. There was a little creek, no wind, and he blows his crow call, and he turns around to walk off. I said, and I ain't got nothing with me, camera gear, and I did have my tube call underneath my T-shirt. And I said, Mr. Kelly,
what?
I said, would you mind if I call one time? I don't give a boop. You know, so I didn't think he was even listening. So I'm looking down that beautiful creek bottom. And I give it one of these. And boy, his head snapped around like that. And he never even looked toward it. I have it around my neck. And he grabs it and pulls me to him. And he's looking at all sides. He said, why ain't you been tooting on that damn thing the whole time? Which gave me a lot of relief because I was like, and we eased down there, didn't kill the turkey. He shut up or something, but after that, he got very conversational, and he'd never been exposed to anything like that or talked about. He didn't know what cutting and running was and all that. And he was kind of fascinated by it. And, you know, we took him to Portland Landing, and that's how, you know, I found the turkeys with it and kept them gobbling, and we moved three or four times, and he was just, he got the biggest kick out of it. And then Toxie and I took him to Texas, and I took him to North Dakota. He got Miriam and a Rio, and just that, to me, that was a priceless time. But it proved to me again the difference in a turkey hunter and a turkey killer. I give the analogy all the time, going with Eddie Briggs, who was our lieutenant governor, he's a turkey killer. He'd never been around this thing. Same thing. You know, when you go with somebody that's, you know, is good, it's awkward. Who's going to hoot?
Yeah. Who's going to call?
Yeah, well, it's awkward. So I'm going with Eddie Briggs, who I learned was a turkey killer. Anyway, he's doing his thing. And at some point, I pulled the tube call out and made a turkey gobble. And, of course, he's got lots of spots, so it wasn't no big deal. Again, he's got it in his hand now, and he's wanting to know. He forgot the turkey gobble. He wants to know everything about it. How can he use it? What do you do? What do you buy it? It's because he wants that in his bag. Mm-hmm. That's a turkey killer. He don't matter who made the turkey gobble. It's like, how'd that happen? And that was Tom Kelly's deal. He's like, what is that? What'd you do with it? Because you got to understand, and I missed that decade, although I'm much older than anybody in this room. When Mr. Kelly was doing it, nobody was doing it. Him and Fox, you know, it's like nobody told you nothing.
That's right.
There wasn't YouTube and social media. He was figuring that stuff out. So to see something as radical as that.
Yeah, he had a light bulb moment for sure.
Exactly. But it was priceless, and I was grateful I was there to see it.
That's awesome.
Wow. I appreciate that, cuz you just took 5 years off my life.
Yeah.
I'm younger than you.
I tell you, Mr. Bill, I would love for you, if we don't have another question, to close us out with a rendition of your with your
Jubilee.
That was really good. So just so we can set the stage for everybody, this is Mr. Bill Sugg. He's trying to get all this stuff organized. Well, he's putting stuff in pockets and pulling stuff out, and I guess he needs his glasses to be able to do
He's putting a mouth collar in, too.
While he's doing that, getting it all ready, I got to tell you a funny story. We do the veterans hunt in Florida every year, mm-hmm. 15 years. Same four or five guys, me, Bubba, Keith Kelly, and him. We went down this year, and when we got settled, Bubba and I went to Walmart to get supplies. We have to buy a bottle of water, snacks, because the food guy brings. And Bubba rolls his card up there, and I'm going to put it on the counter to pay for it. And the first two things I grabbed, one was a package of batteries for our hearing aids, and the other was a can of Metamucil. And I said, we are way too old to be doing this. I just laugh every time I think about
that's
that.
Good.
It's just part of your tool chest.
That's it.
Yeah. Grab yours, cuz, and chime in there, and we'll do it together.
No, you do.
Your clucking purse.
Hey, the Jubilee is sweet, sexy music. Mine is scorched earth stuff. It don't match that well. Turkey right there, boy.
Yeah. I thought you couldn't pair with a mouth collar.
That's turkey.
You'd lie.
He's working on it.
Yeah,
that's a different kind of purr. That's an aggravated purr.
Well, hey, he comes from a different line. Those turkey hunters our age, they're either conveniently absent-minded. You know, they ain't going to tell you everything.
No doubt.
That's right. Mum's the word.
Well, kill more turkeys being quiet.
That's right.
To me, the ethical code of a turkey hunter is you don't lie. You just do not lie. You can't lie.
Don't talk.
That does not mean that you have to tell it.
Oh. Yeah.
What'd you hear? Well, did you hear a turkey? Yeah. I think I did one time way off.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And a guy called me this morning. Did you hear any? Nope. I ain't heard a thing. I was in my office at 6 a.m., but I didn't tell him that. Right. I was just like, ain't nothing happening down there in the bottom. I didn't hear a thing.
That's right.
And that was the truth.
I tell you what, we enjoyed having you in here, enjoyed listening to y'all call, Mr. Bill, cuz, y'all, what interesting people you guys are. We appreciate all that y'all do every day. And from Mossy Oak, here we go. Well, Mike, you got anything to add?
I'm good, sir.
What did you learn today, Mike?
I learned a lot. I learned that find your lane. find your call that works for you. Just because everybody else is doing something doesn't mean you have to do it. I mean, whether it be a push button, a trumpet, or tube call, a box call, a slate call. I mean, they all can kill turkeys.
That's right.
As long as you're good at them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
It's all about confidence.
There ain't no magic pill.
No.
I think I learned Mr. Bill wants to be a podcast host.
Oh,
have you
it.
Seen him down
yeah.
there?
Yeah. I pale in comparison to you three gentlemen.
It's him.
I think he wants to do this.
Yeah.
Well, all right, guys, we've had a lot of fun. We sure appreciate y'all coming down here. Why don't you say goodbye, Dudley?
Goodbye, Dudley.
Get us out of here, Richie.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Gamekeeper Podcast. And be sure to tune in again. Subscribe to Gamekeeper Farming for Wildlife magazine and don't miss the Mossy Oak Properties Fistful of Dirt podcast with my good buddy, Ronnie Cuz Strickland.